Good morning once again. Good to see the beautiful smiling faces in the sanctuary and to see your smiles. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Going to be preaching today on let your light shine. But I'm telling you what, this has been, I got a story to share here in a moment that's just a blessing of what happened yesterday. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is the New American Standard that I'm reading out of today. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your wonderful word, your holy, powerful word. And God, today, I pray that each and every one of us will become that light, that we will let your love shine through us in a mighty way, that others can see Jesus in us, that we can light the darkness, Father. And God, let your word just penetrate our hearts and lives and change the very being of who we are. Let us live by the Spirit and not the flesh. And God, as I preach this message, let every word come from you, nothing from my own thoughts or my own words. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get into the core of this message, I've got a story to share with you that just really rocked our foundations yesterday. I've been looking for an item, and I started praying about it. And I just said, you know, Lord, I just pray that you will help me find this item that I'm looking for. And so I said, Lord, I just pray that you will lead me to the right place for this item that I'm looking for. Well, on Thursday evening, I had taken a nap, and then I got up and I was scrolling through Facebook. You know, there's Marketplace and other things on there. And I see this item that I was praying about. And as I look at it, I'm reading and I'm getting excited. I'm going, wow, this price is amazing. I thought this can't be factual. But all of a sudden, I felt drawn that I had to go to this place. And then when I looked where it was at, it was Evansville, Indiana. And I thought, well, it's an hour and 25-minute drive for us over there. Well, so I asked Janine, I said, okay, do you want to go to Evansville Saturday? Oh, yes, I do. She said, I want to go to a couple places. Well, great. And so I made contact with the person who was selling this item, and we text, you know, back and forth to kind of work things out. And this person told me that she was actually listing it for a friend of hers. And I said, okay. And she said his wife had passed away and it had belonged to her, but he's wanting to sell it. So, okay. So yesterday morning, that's all that was said between, didn't know this guy. And I did ask his name, and she said his name was Brian, which is one I asked for prayer. And Saturday morning, we got up and we headed to Evansville. And I text, well, when we got into Mount Vernon, Indiana, I texted them, said, hey, we're in Mount Vernon. We made a stop. We'll be on the way to Brian's. So just if you let him know. And she texts back, okay, that'd be great. Well, we pull up to this house in Evansville. And I want to say this first. This entire area is all new construction. And I'm telling you what, these houses are probably $400,000 homes out here in this area. Price I wouldn't want to pay for a house. But anyway, we pulled up in front of the house, saw the address. Janine says, well, just pull up right here. And this is what she said to me. She said, now don't be all day. She said, I know how you are. You'll get to talking and you'll be here for hours. I said, honey, I don't know this guy, so this be real quick. So I get out of the car. He comes out the front door. And the whole time over the few days leading up to Saturday, I kept feeling this strong draw to be there Saturday. And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't sleep Friday night thinking about it. But when I walked up to the front door, this young guy, he's my age, steps out. And he's got what I came to buy. And as I started talking to him, I noticed immediately that tears started to well up in his eyes. And I didn't know what to expect. And the only thing I had on my mind was I wanted to get this thing and get back in the car because, you know, Janine wanted to go shop and have fun, basically. And I felt the Lord immediately say, I want you to stay right here and I want you to talk to him. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And I'm standing there thinking, well, Janine wanted me to hurry up, you know. Well, he started telling me that his wife, July of last year, was having headaches, went to the doctor, found a very aggressive form of cancer on the brain. She was 55 years old. And the doctors told them she had anywhere from 4 months to maybe 6 months, maybe a year to live. October of last year, she got bad. She died in their home, laying in their king-size bed. And this is what he said to me. He said, how could God give me the love of my life? One that I was so attached to. We went to church. We praised God. We served. And he said, how could God do this to me? How could this happen? Why would he take her from me that way? He said, and he just started, the tears were just welling up. And by this point, my eyes were watering up and my heart was being yanked out of my chest, listening to him. And we just talked back and forth. And after we had talked for maybe a good hour, and I started thinking, I need to pray for this guy. So I said, Brian, do you mind if my wife and I pray for you? And he said, I would love that. So I turned around and I hollered at Janine. I said, honey, could you come up here? We want to pray for Brian. So she come up there. And Janine said, as she walked toward the house, she could immediately feel his pain. And she started to cry immediately. She's very tenderhearted like that. And the three of us joined hands at his front door. And this man happens to be an Evansville police officer, by the way. One of the best men I've ever met in my life. And as we joined hands, the Holy Spirit just came down upon that place. And I got the chance to pray from the Spirit for him, for his situation. And I heard Janine praying and crying, and I heard him crying. And I'm trying to get through this prayer without me breaking down and crying. And after we got done praying, the tears just rolled down his face. And he said, "Thank you." He said, "I knew that you, when I heard about you," he said, "I knew you were the one to come here today to minister to me." And I said, "I'm so thankful that I got to be here today to talk to you." This man was a police officer. And, you know, in my family, there's been a law enforcement for so many years. And we had a connection. And we hugged. I didn't know this guy from Adam. And anyway, well, as we got back home last night, his friend that she had done all this, I just texted her back. I said, "I want to thank you for all of this, for taking care of all this." I said, "God did a thing today." And she didn't know anything of what happened. She texted me yesterday and she said, "The very moment that you contacted me," she said, "I knew in my heart that you were supposed to be the one to come to Evansville and to witness and minister to him and pray for him, because this man hasn't been in church. He hasn't been going. He's been mad at God. He's been going through turmoil." And after we prayed yesterday, there was just a release off of his heart. And when we left there, we continued to cry as we left his house. And Janine said, "I didn't expect this today." I said, "Honey, I didn't either." And we praised and thanked God all the way as we left his house, went back downtown Evansville to go to the first store. I couldn't help but to feel this presence of angels all around singing glory to God in the highest. That's what I heard in my spirit, was the angels praising God. And all I could do was praise God myself and thank Him for this opportunity. And I tell you this story because it relates to this message so well. I sent this message to Laura Thursday night. I didn't know all week what I was going to preach. And this sermon came to me, and this felt like the right one. And this is what I've been praying for a while. I've been praying, "God, use me to be a light to somebody. Help me to be a witness. Help me to show your love. Help me, God." And I said, "Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go to share your love with whoever it is. I will go. My wife will go." We pray that in agreement. So I've been saying, "Lord, let my light shine. Let your love shine through me." And this message came to me. And then we experienced God's glory yesterday in a mighty way. And because the love of the Lord and His light shone through us, and we showed mercy and compassion and love to somebody we didn't even know, who was a brother in Christ, though, to see the experience that he had, to know what he was feeling, I could feel it in my heart, but to give him love made my day. I haven't felt like this in forever. I've been asking God for breakthrough in my life over some things, to really just let myself go and let God be the very forefront of who I am. Lord, let people see you in me. And the only way that I could do that was to crucify my flesh to the cross and say, "Father, by your Spirit, I want to live today. I can't live any other way." And yesterday, as we were driving home last night, and I sat up last night. I never stay up till after midnight. I couldn't sleep, and I wasn't disturbed or troubled, but I sat there thinking about the complexity of what God did. I thought of how God worked and how He moved, that God used me to go to another state to touch the life of a police officer. And it wasn't me, it was all God. But that God would use me. And God used me because I wanted my light to shine before other men. And that scripture this morning that says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Well, the light that was shown out of us yesterday continued to shine throughout the entire day. And I'm not just, I want to share these stories. I'm not saying these things or what we did to say what a great person I am. I'm not doing that. It's not why I'm sharing these, but I want to just share what God did. So yesterday we go shopping and we just smiled at people and we show God's love. And we went to lunch. We saw a family come in. They sat down and held hands at the table and they prayed just like we do. And when we got ready to leave, I stopped and said, "I want to tell you what a blessing you were to me. It was so wonderful to see you guys pray together." And we got to fellowship with them and we got to experience more of God's love and light in our lives. And other places we went, I can't tell you what God did yesterday. But when I got up this morning, I finally went to sleep. I have no idea what time I got up at 7 o'clock. I'm usually up at 5:36. I was up at 7 this morning, and I wasn't even wore out or tired. But all I kept thinking about was what the Lord has done. And if we want our light to shine, our light has to be an outward expression of an inward condition. So what people see out here, what they see on the outside, is what's going on inside of you. And it's because of your attitude and your actions. So if God is light, then we know the Bible says that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. And if we are of Jesus Christ, if we are God's children, then the light that is inside of Him will be inside of us and it will shine through. It's a condition of our heart and a condition of our soul, and we will stand out in a world that's filled with sin and darkness. Jesus commanded us to go into the world and be fishers of men. Now, if we're going to attract those who are living in darkness, then we have to be the light. But if we are Christian people and we are mingling with the darkness and we're not shining the light, then we're not being the effectiveness that God wants us to be. If we are living with the world and if we're doing what everybody else is doing, then we're going to have a bad attitude and our actions will not reflect the role model that Jesus Christ was for us. Last Sunday, I went to a birthday party for a pastor friend of mine. And I'm telling you what, the entire time of that birthday party was nothing but love and laughter. And I had the best time with Christian brothers and sisters. And again, my heart was filled. And you know, as I went home and started to pray this week, I just started asking God, "Lord, let my attitude reflect what Jesus has done in my life." So If I want my attitude to change, then I know I've got to be in the Word, and I know I've got to study the Word, and I've got to live the Word, because when that Word takes plant in my life, when it takes a root and it starts to grow, then it's going to produce a harvest. It's going to produce good fruit. And my attitude and my actions will show what the Lord has done in my life. Now, His light is only given to believers. The moment that you get saved and you become a Christian, the Bible says the old things have passed away, and behold, everything becomes new. So Jesus comes into your heart, and He takes that darkness and He brings His light into your life, so that you have a brand new outlook. You have a fellowship. You have joy divine, and you have got the best friend in the world who will never turn His back on you. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you also receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, He told His disciples, He said, "I am sending you another Comforter." And He was talking about the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit helps us to have wisdom. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us how to love. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to be effective witnesses in this dark world. The Holy Spirit teaches us not to be afraid. And if we're going to be effective for God, then we've got to let the Holy Spirit come into our life, and we've got to let the Holy Spirit of God take over to where it changes everything about us and everything that we do. At the moment of salvation, light has come into your life, and your life becomes empowered. You get a power from God that nobody else can give you. You've got a protector in the Lord, that He has gone before you, and He has already fought the battle, and He has already won. Now, this guy yesterday, after we got done praying, I'm telling you what, the heaviness in his eyes before we prayed was very notable. When we got done praying, he was smiling, and I told him, you've got to get back to church. You can't let the devil keep you in one place, holding you as a prisoner in grief and in the loneliness and sadness. I said, "I'm sorry that you're gone through this. I really am. I don't know what that feels like." But I said, "I can tell you this, God sees down the road, and God sees things that could possibly happen to our loved ones. And there are reasons why God is ready to take our loved ones home." And I said, "All we can do is trust Him." But I said, "I want you to know I love you. I know I don't know you that well, but I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you." And so yesterday, then that's not the end of it. I asked him yesterday, "Can I send you a friend request on Facebook?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Because I want to stay connected to you. I want you to know every day I'll be praying, and I'm here for you. If you need to talk, you call me or whatever you need, but we will be praying for you." And I watched his face yesterday lighten. And even though the tears were flowing, I could see the joy of the Lord starting to work in the situation. So if we ask God to do these things within our life, then God will move on our behalf, and God will take you to places you never even thought. How many times have I been preaching that here lately? I've told you, God will take you to places you never thought you would go and witness to somebody. And He took us over one state. Now, if somebody would have told me that, if somebody would have walked up to me and said, you're going to go over there. And the funny thing is, these two people didn't know me, and we hadn't had any communication other than when we was going to come by this item. So when we went, it wasn't to buy the item. We went to show the light and the love of Jesus to somebody who had been experiencing some darkness in their life. You and I are going to walk through darkness. We're going to go through valleys. But the Bible says there is a lily in the valley. He is the bright, listen to this, He is the bright and morning star. If He's the bright and the morning star, which I know He is, His name is Jesus, even though there's dark times in my life, I'm not going to look at the darkness of the situation. I'm not going to look at what's around me, but my eyes are going to be fixed on the One who's there with me walking through the valley. When King Jehoshaphat was going to battle, they were facing an army of greater men, greater numbers than what they had. They just had a couple hundred. They were marching to battle to face thousands, trained soldiers who were equipped. I mean, there is some evil and darkness in that army. And this is what God told Jehoshaphat to do. He said, as you're marching to battle, I want you to sing praises. I want you to praise me, and I want you to sing as you go to battle. That's all I want you to do. Don't think about anything else, but you do what I told you to do. I'll take care of it. Now, how many of us have been going toward a battle, something we've been facing, and how many times have we prayed? How many times have we sang? How many times have we sought the Lord in those situations? Because if we would do that, then the darkness wouldn't even be in our thoughts. The devil's temptations wouldn't even cross our minds. But this I know, when Jehoshaphat and his army got to the place where they were going into battle, the other army, they had already wiped each other out. They were dead. And they rejoiced and triumphed over what God had done. So, as we were driving to Evansville yesterday, we were praying and we were praising God already for the day, what He was going to do. We had no idea what we were about to encounter. And we were elated. I'm still elated today. And I'll probably tell 50,000 more people about this. And that's all right. Now, Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, you don't live under any law. You live under a new blood covenant. What Jesus did on the cross set you free from the burden of sin. What Jesus did on the cross gave us victory in this life. We were given His grace. Now, if we want our lights to shine, how many of you grew up with the old oil lamps that had the wick and oil? Yeah. Yeah. And you know that lamp had to have oil in it, and that wick, man, that wick had to be ready to go. You could light that lamp, and when them wicks burn down, you just turn that wick up a little bit more and let it burn. Well, in the same principle, our life, we are a lamp. And we've got to be filled with a fuel. You know what that fuel is? Grace. God's grace. God's love. And that fuel inside of us, if we keep our wick ready and we stay lit and we are being the light, then we will shine before people in this world. And when people look at you, when you tell somebody you're a Christian, they should be able to look at you. If you go to church and you profess Christ, people should be able to look at you. They should be able to look at me and say, hey, Milton McDaniel, he knows Jesus. Boy, I see it in that man. Sarah, I see it in Sarah's eyes. She's got Jesus. That's what people should be saying. I don't want people to look and see me. I want people to see Jesus. That's all I want. That's all I'm after. I don't need men's applause. I don't need men's, you know, and I don't ever mean to be rude when someone says, hey, that was a great message. And I just have to say, well, please thank God for that, because He's the one that gave it, not me. So please always give God the praise. And I'm not being mean. And I appreciate if you say that was a good message. But give God the praise and honor for it, because He's the one that deserves it. He gave it. I'm just the messenger. But I want you to know that the Lord is good. Let your light shine. In Him there is no darkness, and if you are abiding in Him, there should be no darkness in you.